Welcome, everybody, to yet another episode of our increasingly monthly podcast, the Broken Campfire Podcast. I'm your host, Andy. I'm joined by three other non-host individuals who have been on every episode, John, Flask, and Greg. How you guys doing?
Hello.
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Doing great, actually. Our friend Vito, of course, as everybody knows, is in Italy, as he always is whenever he's not here.
He sure does love that place.
Sure does.
Where his brain might be, no one can say, though.
I literally can't. I forget who owns it at this point. We should do another one of those soon. Just like we're going to be doing another stream soon, with details to follow soon.
Soon.
But, you know, guys, I know it's been a little while. It's been a month or so since we are our last episode, so you might have to be reaching back into your gamer brains a little bit. But we're going to do some roundtables, and we might do a little bit of news. We'll start with Flask. Flask, I'm sitting here with a clipboard. I have my grading rubric, and I'm ready to take your book report on what you did over the last month, so long as it's not actually books. Unless it is, but that's okay, too.
Okay. I have finally been reading a book that I have had on my backlog for a long time called Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell by Susanna Clarke, who is the same author as Piranesi, which I previously mentioned on the podcast. Finally getting around to it. It's a big book. It's like 1,000 words plus, so it's one of the bigger ones in my backlog. It's good so far.
Oh, good.
And, yeah. I was inspired to do that after we took a little trip. We were all hanging out for a week, a couple weeks ago. And then right after that, I got very sick. And I've been sick for the past week plus. So I haven't really been doing much gaming, honestly. I've been mostly bedridden,
just watching bedridden random reading shit.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, we got Vito here. Is Vito participating?
Hey, sorry listeners, we're gonna take a quick pause because Vito just arrived back in Italy. back from Italy, so we'll pick back up here in a second, but let's get Vito on the mic.
Yeah, as I was saying, I've been sick for past a week plus, so I haven't been doing much gaming. So my you know, activities are sort of out of date, like the stuff that's worth talking about, but I can still talk about it. We never got to talk about Dune Part 2, because we saw that. Those of us who saw that would have seen that before all this shenanigans. Andy, you saw that, right? Did anyone else see that?
Well, yeah, I thought Dune 2 was great.
So did I.
I've not seen it.
You know, I liked the first movie. I even rewatched it again before the sequel watch, and I probably liked it even better in some ways, just because like I was further away from having read the books, which I did right before I saw it the first time. Part two might be, I think, is even better. Would you agree, Andy? Like, I think it's a better movie on its own. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I part one, I always respected, and I did enjoy it on my first viewing, but I'm one of those guys that somebody tells me that Dune was boring, and I'm like, yeah, I get it. It's a really slow movie. I don't think Dune Part 2 is a slow movie.
A lot of
Dune
action.
Part 2 is just straight really good as a film.
A lot of action and rising action. Like, it's always moving forward. Yeah, exactly.
If anything, it's like almost like, maybe, it's like maybe one of the problems is that it's like almost too epic at times. Like, you kind of just want some more scenes of like just fucking normal Arrakis life or something. But I mean, they're adapting a dense book, and there's no time for that. I really appreciated Villeneuve's vision.
And I think, you know, even though it doesn't maybe adapt it one to one, it still translates like the beats and the essence very, like, amazingly well to the screen. You feel like you're watching Dune. Like it's up there on the screen, you know?
Yeah, having not read the book, but I feel like I have now, because especially after watching the movie, I've done a lot of Dune diving. I feel like I get now what people mean when they say, like, is the first thing that's really adapted it. But, like, to get to, like, the heart of the point would require, like, ending spoilers, which I'm happy to get to, but I don't know if we want to get there yet.
Nah, that's all right. We can leave that.
I don't give a fuck.
Oh, Jesus. I think that the two parts, though, make a really good, like, 5.5 hour film, you know, the film experience. I think it's the most immersive Dune experience so far, for sure. Like, more so than Lynch or the sci-fi miniseries. Sci-fi miniseries, you know, admirable effort, but just like this is so many levels up from that. What I will say is the ending does very much set up another movie, which has just been not greenlit, but like it's just been confirmed that they're making one. Like, I think today.
They confirmed
that another one's in production now.
I didn't realize that. I mean, we kind of knew this was coming because Villeneuve's been hinting at it and saying that he wants to do it. But it was one of those, you know, nothing is granted type of things where, hey, you know, maybe they'll let me do it.
It is now confirmed. So I guess like Dune Messiah. I wonder if it'll just be Dune Messiah or if they'll go, you know, try to cram children as well. I don't know. But the ending did make me theorize that like they'll probably come at it from a slightly different angle. But probably end up in the same place, especially with what they do with Chani's character.
I'd be curious to talk more about what you mean by that, but I guess my initial thought was, and I don't even know, I haven't read the book, so I don't know if this is what the books do, but I feel like we're gonna jump 15 years in the future, and the Paul's kids are already gonna be getting on in age, but maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, that would be skipping. I think a time skip would make sense, because that is what happens in the next book. But having his children already be grown would be some skipping stuff.
I mean, I believe you. I mostly say that because I know that Dune the movie is a compressed timeline versus Dune the book. And if I feel like if you're going to adapt it, you got to make up that time somehow, you know, like you got to like jump to a point where it makes sense. Like, we're not going to pick up with we're not going to pick up with Paul with where he was at exactly on the next movie, I don't think.
Right. And I think Villeneuve has said that he would maybe just be good to 3 movies. I think he said something along those lines. So maybe he wants to make the third one like the ending of the trilogy, so to speak.
Just make the trilogy like Paul's story and like in the third one where Paul ends. Yeah.
So we'll see. But yeah, great movie. Great, you know, part 1 and 2. Very impressive. And I played on Nintendo Switch, I played the original Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition.
Oh.
Hyrule Warriors being the Musou Dynasty Warriors Zelda game.
I didn't know they put the original one on the Switch.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it has a sequel, Age of Calamity, which is the
I haven't beat it, but I've played a little bit of it. I like that one. That one's pretty good.
I am going to get around to that one as well. But before that, I was like, you know, I check out Hyrule Warriors. I always liked the Dynasty Warriors games, so I can do hours of Musou, you know, and I like Zelda, so I figured I'd check it out.
Yeah, Zelda's a cool theme for it, too.
It's basically the same gameplay, except there's some, like, Zelda elements, like, you know, the bosses of Zelda and equipment that you use. Other little features. I think it's those things that sort of like justify the game's existence being like a Zelda Musou game. one advantage that I do think Dynasty Warriors has over Hyrule Warriors is all the generals in Dynasty Warriors are sort of like, every battle has a bunch of them doing their own thing, where they're like, you know, vaguely recreating historical events that, you know, are interpreted for this fictional version of things. So you can sort of like go around and run into them, or like go take them out, take out specific generals and have a fight with like a particular person with particular skills. Whereas in Hyrule Warriors, you do have the big bosses, which is, I think, a cool addition, and it kind of changes the game. But you're otherwise fighting like a lot of generic enemies most of the time, like a lot of generic moblins or whatever. You know, the
I was thinking, like, yeah, like there's that, or there's like a, yeah, like a lizard dude in there. The one I'm thinking of, like, that's kind of a general from the first one is when like the Dodongo, that's what that walks through the stage. Would that like count as the general? Like,
that counts
or
as
a general, yeah.
Yeah, that's like one of the bosses. It's just that the bosses are less... The generals in the Dynasty Warriors games, I would say, inhabit a middle
like
ground between the generic enemies and the bosses.
Oh, gotcha.
And I think it's cool to have all those generals run around because they're so, like, their own characters. You know what I mean? You don't really have that in the Zelda game because... It's like either generic enemies.
It's either little dude or boss.
Big boss that only appears once in a while, you know. So I appreciate that about Dynasty Warriors games still. But it you know, that's the trade-off for having a more Zelda focused experience. More accurate to a Zelda experience, I guess I would say.
Who's your favorite
character?
And
my favorite character to play as.
Yeah.
That's a good question. All of them play differently, which is fun. I mean, Link is pretty easy to handle. He's sort of like the Mario of the game, where like he's well rounded.
Yeah.
But also he's kind of hard to go wrong with. Like, his attacks just work. I did actually kind of like, oddly enough, the original character that they there's a few original characters for this game, and they are not designed like Zelda characters. They're like clearly more anime inspired. I mean, the main villainess has like enormous, largely exposed breasts, and it's like more than the great fairies have ever been sexualized.
Sorry, what game is this?
This is Hyrule Warriors for the Nintendo Switch and Wii U originally, I think, whatever. Yeah, so they're kind of weird character designs for the Zelda series, but I liked playing as the original heroic anime girl who was called something, but she's water themed.
Oh, Lana?
Lana. Is that her name? Okay. Lana.
I think it's her name. Lana, the blue hair chick.
Yeah, I actually kind of like playing as her because she's got moves that kind of do like area of effect sweeping, okay, like sweep away the enemies kind of stuff, you know?
Does she show up in other games? How do you know this character, Greg?
I've just played Warriors, the first Warriors on the Wii U.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like getting the enemies out of my face, you know? So she's good for that.
I'm looking at like other characters that they have in that game. I have had no idea they had some of these weird ass dudes.
Yeah, I didn't end up playing as all of them. There's a lot of characters available that you can play as, but you unlock them in the course of the campaign. And I kind of just, for my money, I went through the campaign and I was like, I feel like I'm good. I don't really need to like 100% this experience, you know?
You didn't want Tingle? That's a little strange.
Sorry. Tingle. Is probably the kind of joke character who actually is like effective. They probably made him a killer.
Name's Tingle and he's ready to mingle.
One thing I didn't know about the game though is that they remix a bunch of stuff from like Ocarina of Time, Twilight Princess, Skyward Sword. They remix a bunch of like elements, environments, and characters and stuff like that. I didn't know it was like a remix thing from a bunch of games, which that's pretty cool. Whereas like Age of Calamity, I know is more just, isn't it more just like the rest of the Wild World?
It's it's basically like the prequel to the Breath of the Wild, but like an alternate world.
Oh yeah, with the heroes. That's the point of it. They're
you're in the time of the heroes. Yeah, it's basically like, I think the story of it is like in the beginning, something from the future comes to the past and starts affecting like the story.
Okay. They do love their time stuff.
Yeah, they do love it.
So yeah, I played some Hyrule Warriors. I'll eventually get around to Age of Calamity. And then I also started watching an anime. I started watching Frieren Beyond Journey's End.
Frieren, the little elf one?
Yes. Have you watched any of that?
I heard that. I have not watched it. I'm going to watch it when it's over, but that is pretty good, I've heard.
I have also heard it's good, and the premise stuck out to me and made me want to check it out. It's like a typical fantasy setup where the hero party has just like defeated the Demon King, you know, the typical Dragon Quest sort of setup there. But you're focusing and following the elf mage member of the party, and she splits off from the party once the Demon King is defeated, and then because she's immortal, she lets a lot of time pass, and eventually like meets, you know, her old friends again, and things have changed. Obviously they've grown older where she is not. And she's sort of just traveling around the world in the aftermath of having saved the world, you know. So there's no real like objective. It's just she's learning. She's just trying to go around and learn things and help people where she can. And it's just she's also sort of, it's a contemplative thing about
kind of a fucking moron.
What do you mean?
She's kind of like a what's the word I want to say? She's like She's book smart, but she ain't street smart.
Oh yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah, she's not dumb by any means.
No, not dumb, but she does, you know, very new to the world. It feels like.
Yeah, because because she has chosen not to experience a lot of the world and interaction with the world to this point. She's kind of remained apart from it as this like immortal elf being, you know. So it's her kind of learning to interact with the world, and also wrestling with the fact that her immortality keeps her apart from all these other mortal beings that you know, live these to them important lives, whatever, you know. I just think it's an interesting premise. I love stories about immortals and dealing with immortality and leaving people behind in time, you know. So I've been enjoying it so far. I think it's been it's pretty low key and just kind of like cozy while also being a good study. So I would say check it out. Frieren, which is her name, Beyond Journey's End. And that's my roundtable.
Cool. Burnin' sounds interesting.
I'd also recommend it. It's pretty good.
Real quick, though.
Even though I haven't watched it.
This character is immortal, right? As you said.
Yeah.
Could they take Goku, do you think?
Could they take Goku?
Actually. I think she could take Goku.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, They're magic immortal. In her world has like rules. Goku is just like insane. Goku's like a god.
Yeah. Right. Goku's pretty cool.
I could see it. Yeah, I could see her beating Goku.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my only question.
I mean maybe, but I don't think so.
All right, that's fair.
Flask, you're not done yet.
I'm not.
Host Andy, throw me in.
Okay. Yeah, I will throw you in just because you called me by my official title, and I don't think anybody else has ever done that ever. so yeah, go ahead.
I won't.
So that's the concussion talking. I never would have called you that normally.
Yeah, that's all the proof I needed to know that Vito's not vegan.
Yeah. So I don't have much to talk about, but I watched a couple things. One of the things I watched was Scavenger's Reign.
Oh, yeah.
Animated, is it HBO? HBO show?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. HBO.
Yeah.
Let's just say it's HBO. I really, really liked it. I finished the whole thing.
Oh, nice.
I thought it was great. I don't, you know, I'm trying to recall. I remember you didn't love it, right? I think you
liked.
I had
issues with it.
You had issues with it. Some of those issues were like you felt the characters would act like stupid sometimes. Right? Was that one of the things?
I think it lied with like yeah, I mean, I guess that was part of it. I think it lied with them being like simultaneously very uncareful about everything, being very cavalier about trying to survive on this alien world while simultaneously knowing like way too much about how everything functions and like having years worth of knowledge within the months that they've been there.
Right.
generations even worth of knowledge. I don't know. It was kind of a mixture of that. And I don't know, just kind of like the vibe of them being a little like, I don't even know what emotion would describe it, but like, instead of being committed to the task at hand, they're oftentimes kind of like flighty and more concerned with irrelevancies.
Okay. That second part, I'm not really catching. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't really recall any moments like that. But the first thing you said, 1,000%, yeah. Like they've been there for a couple months and they just like know how certain things work, and so these certain things are so complicated, like I don't know, like you gotta find a plant and harvest its seeds so that you could feed a water monster that seed so that that water monster gives birth to a thing that like heals you or something like that, like
yeah.
But I was totally cool with that because just like to enjoy the show at all, I think you have to really just buy into it that this planet exists and has these insane, very complicated, you know,
ecosystems
that can be taken advantage of. And I thought it was awesome on a visual level to see them doing these things, harvesting these weird ass plants or, you know, animals or whatever. I also just thought the concepts were really cool. And, so that didn't bother me as much. And then there was a couple times in the show, I mean a couple, maybe like once or twice, where I was like, why would they do that? That doesn't make any sense. But, you know, I had already suspended my disbelief so much that it really didn't take me out of it too much.
Sure.
But the show is just gorgeous to look at. But I really liked the characters as well. I thought the characters were cool. I liked the show's way of revealing information about the characters via flashbacks that I thought were like paced pretty well. And I don't know. I feel like I normally don't care for flashbacks explaining characters, but I thought they were handled pretty well here. I actually watched it with my girlfriend, and we both really liked it. And I'm excited for a season two, but I'm also concerned that they won't be able to capture that same magic in season two, because part of the fun of that show is them like not knowing, you know, the shit that's out there on this planet. Like, you know, it's like mega Australia, like everything's trying to kill you in like super weird ways. But,
You know, and how long can you keep up the inventiveness when you're dealing with the same?
Right.
I mean, never finished the season, but.
Oh, you should. Well, no, you don't have to do anything, but yeah. If you finish it, you could kind of see where maybe season two might be taking us. And, okay. Yeah, I'm just wondering if they're going to be able to capture that same spirit of exploring this unknown planet, you know, now that everybody's been there for, you know, at least a whole season.
So, right, I get you. I will say, like, I never bothered to update my take on this show, but I watched more episodes after the point that I had talked about it previously. But I watched those episodes while I was doing something else. So I was like distracted watching, but still grasping what was going on. And it was a better experience because I was able to, I guess, achieve more of what you achieved, which is like disconnect my disbelief a bit and just vibe with the show, just the visuals and the
just
go along
it.
With it. Yeah.
Yeah. You really just got to accept it. It's such like a sci-fi based show, like really fucking out there.
Yeah.
And I found myself enjoying it.
I'm glad.
Yeah. So that's that. I could see like Greg, maybe you liking this because it's got some like really out there, you know, I don't call them monsters, like aliens.
Entities?
Yeah, entities and stuff.
I could see that.
But yeah. So that was my bone to pick with you. And I was bone exaggerating. I always appreciate your opinion. And as I was watching it, I was like,
violence.
No. As I was watching it, I was like, oh, I could see why Flask wouldn't like that. But you also consume a lot more, like, not just media, but like
bullshit.
A lot of bullshit. But a lot of stuff that's like, I don't know. I feel like that show seems like it could have been a comic book or something like that. Mm. And I feel like you consume so much of that, that you're much more sensitive to that bullshit than I am. You know, I'm that just like, be. You know, oh, this is the first time I've seen a concept like this, where like maybe you've seen stuff like that, you know, before. I'm trying to follow that up actually. There's a couple shows on my radar. I don't know if anybody's seen any of them or talked about them on the pod. The fuck's it called? Blue-Eyed Samurai?
Oh, yeah, I watched that. That was
pretty
good.
About
I don't think so on the podcast. I don't think I've
seen it. Prequel to the Blue Eyes White Dragon? Or
yeah.
Yeah.
And Samurai Jack.
Oh, okay.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Spinoff for sure.
You finished that show? Did you like it? Should I check it
yeah,
out?
Yeah, I mean, I actually had a hard time kind of getting through it just because it's like so I guess to put it without any spoilers at all, you have to suspend your disbelief in that show in a different way than in Scavenger's Reign. And I had a hard time doing that, but I still made it through because of the quality, excuse me, because of the quality of the show, which is very much present. So I would still recommend Blue-Eyed Samurai. And I probably will watch the next season when it comes out. So that's, you know, that's a recommendation.
Okay, cool. So then, yeah, maybe
it's
cool. Check that out after all.
It's cool.
And then in that same kind of vein, I definitely think maybe it was you that talked about it on this pod. You or John, maybe? The show Primal?
Primal,
the Jendy Tartakovsky. I didn't watch
Samurai
that.
Jack guy.
Yeah, it's an Adult Swim show, I think.
I watched the first season, and then there was such like a long time, I think, between the two seasons that fell off. But I really liked what I watched.
Yeah, I feel like following that up after Scavenger's Reign is like a good combo.
Yeah, probably.
So yeah, I think I'll watch one of those two shows and I'll let you guys know how it goes.
Have you ever seen Samurai Jack?
Have I ever seen Samurai Jack? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay. Primal was the same past. Creator. Yeah, Samurai Jack Back to the Past. And while, I mean, obviously they're two very different shows. You know, one's Caveman, one's Samurai. You can definitely feel so the inspiration.
Could not be more different.
Yeah, but just the way he goes about his storytelling, I guess, you know, minimal words in a lot of episodes, just letting the characters and their actions and, you know, do the work and stuff.
Yeah, I was just memeing, but that's cool. You mentioning that reminded me. That was one of the things I really liked about Scavenger's Reign, was like the lack of exposition and just showing you things. Hmm. Like, I thought there was a lot of that kind of storytelling, and I appreciated that. And then the other thing I watched, completely unrelated to all of this, is the new Roadhouse. I don't know if you call it a remake. I definitely would not. I don't know what they're calling it. This is the reimagining of the Patrick Swayze Roadhouse movie, but it's starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor. It was like really bad, but very enjoyable. I highly recommend you guys group watch this. Jake Gyllenhaal is just like walking through the movie, just like reading lines off a sheet of paper. You could tell he does not care about this at all, which, you know, he shouldn't. And Conor McGregor, I'm assuming this is like his acting debut, and he's so bad, but it's so much fun to watch. He's just basically being the Joker. The movie is just, it has nothing. I don't think it has anything to do with the original Roadhouse, other than there's a roadhouse, a place called Roadhouse, but, it's a completely different plot, involving like a UFC fighter. And, the thing is just rife with horrible, horrible CGI. The movie is just really, oh my God, the worst fight CGI I've seen in like a decade.
I'm all for it. I'm in it.
You guys gotta watch the worst writing. Conor McGregor and Jake Gyllenhaal like doing these one-liners that are just so bad. Oh man. Definitely check that one out.
So I haven't watched the new one yet, but I was told the exact thing that you said it was, that it's bad and great. I watched the original for the first time while I was sick. And I would say the same thing about that movie. So if it captures the same, it's bad, but also it's great vibe, maybe in a different way, but still the same kind of thing could be said.
That's funny you say that. I definitely saw Roadhouse probably not super long ago, but I'm not really remembering it all too well. You're saying it's kind of like a bad movie on it itself?
Yeah. I mean, it's like 80s cheese through and through.
Okay.
This one's probably bad in a different way.
The 80s like invented cheese. Like, I could see Roadhouse standing on its own as like a good movie in that way, and that it was like, you know, a good example of that genre. This movie's terrible. I don't know what it's trying to do. It's so bad. It was probably just sponsored by like UFC, and there's all the money went to like McGregor and Jake Gyllenhaal's casting. Oh, and Post Malone's in it for like 10 seconds in the intro.
Okay. Nice.
But then, yeah, they didn't bother to like write a good movie. So yeah, definitely watch that. Oh, and I'm gonna go back and now watch the original Roadhouse. That was my plan. So you did the opposite of what I did.
I see.
That's all I got. I don't have much.
That was a good amount.
Yeah, it was a good amount. Been a busy month for a lot of us, I think. Well, you know, I don't have a super prepared agenda right now. That'd be crazy. But I think that I can go next and kind of field some group things, perhaps. Get everybody involved, most people involved.
Okay. If you think you can do that.
I dare you.
Swing away, bud.
Okay. First things first. Helldivers. Some updates there.
Never played it.
All right. Well, okay. I think we're really enjoying it so far. There's the most recently, I don't know if we talked since the mechs were added. The mechs were added. They've added a quasar cannon, a lot of cool weapons and stuff. I'm enjoying the updates so far.
I haven't played since we got back from vacation, but pretty cool. I like that game. I mean, you know, I love killing bugs. It's like EDF kind of. I just, my thing is I want more vehicles added to the game, which, you know, we know they're coming soon.
Yeah, I've been digging it. I've been digging these kind of stealth drops they've been doing. You know, they've added flying enemies to the game on the bug side.
They just had robots, flyers.
I was going to say, there's I didn't get to see it because we were kind of splitting up, but, apparently there's an optional side objective now that has some sort of gunships or gun drones. And then, yeah, I guess there's these big dog walkers that I also have not seen yet, but they're on the robot side. It was cool to see them, you know, adding, you know, just content, not necessarily every month in these big updates that they're doing, but just, you know, in between. And yeah, I mean, even counting the extra battle passes, not like the main one. You know, the third one's coming out next week. I think each one usually has like 3 guns, so like, you know, 9 new guns added to the game. You know, plus the quasar cannon and the heavy machine gun, even though I think the heavy machine gun's absolutely dog shit. But yeah, nothing to complain about. I mean, it's all cool stuff, content flowing in, game's still fun.
I saw on Twitter the new order is the final push to destroy all the robots, the last robot planets, and then I'm done.
Sure, something will go horribly wrong, but I mean, we've seen the new battle pass coming out next week, and I mean, I'm not hyped because, you know, it's whatever, but, you know, just a few guns. But of all the battle passes we've seen, I think this is the one that appeals to me or my play style the most. Bunch of like explosive stuff.
Oh, nice. I saw they just nerfed one of the shotguns.
They nerfed the slug one.
Now, I will say, I mean, it's not really affected us much, but as a high theme, the balancing is kind of weird.
Yeah, well, I will say that they do seem kind of quick to change things, although they have kind of slowed down. But I would say, luckily, perhaps for me, I have not used any of the like the weapons or stratagems that have been getting nerfed. I don't know if it's just like me picking obscure things or just whatever, but I have not been touched by it. If anything, I've only been buffed by the things I've used. So I'm totally fine. But I do think early on, especially, and even a little bit now, like with the two weapons that came out, the quasar cannon, I think it's the best stratagem, like, you know, third weapon you can take. I mean, it can do it all. It can fucking blow up bug holes. It can blow up robot factories. It can blow up airships in one hit. It can blow up chargers head on in one hit. I've seen it.
Wow.
You know, it's just, I mean, and it has infinite ammo. It's just a little bit of a charge up. And, you know, it's just like
the best weapon, like the best support.
Well, I got to get in and use that before that gets nerfed.
Dude, absolutely. And then in comparison, at the same time, they released the heavy machine gun, which is something I've asked for, because they had a light machine gun, and, you know, it's cool to just start mowing bugs down, but the light machine gun is doo-doo if you're not shooting, like, the smallest of bugs. It'll just bounce off. So heavy sounded like a good progression, but I don't know, it just feels awful. The reload time is extra long. The magazine or clip, I guess, whatever, does not feel very good. And then, you know, originally when it first came out, it had where you could turn the rate of fire from like 400, 750, and then 1200. And then they just nerfed it to the maximum being like 900 now. So it's even worse than it was when it originally came out. And I can't tell if it was a bug in the game or if it was just me. But anytime, and I tried it three different times, you know, versus bugs, bots, and then you tried it again versus the bugs. I didn't have a reticle. I don't know if that's just a bug in the game or they just thought the heavy machine gun, you know, just like that little white circle in the middle of your screen.
Yeah.
It just didn't appear when I was using the gun. So it's just crazy how as good as the Quasar cannon is as bad as the heavy machine gun is.
And then they nerfed the heavy machine gun.
Yeah. Then they nerfed it with the little rate of fire thing. So yeah, some weird stuff there, but overall, I you know, still having tons of fun hopping on it, you know, just about every night.
It sounds like what we're describing is like the double-edged sword of their philosophy of rolling stuff out, like their soft rolling rollout of features and new content is like, it's cool when it happens and it's just like new, you know, enemy types or whatever they add to the game. Like, oh, they're just rolling that out without any fanfare. You know, just new stuff added to the game. On the other hand, it's like, oh, they added a new gun and it sucks because they didn't do any like playtesting with it. They just threw a new thing in because that's the way they do it, you know? Kind of a double-edged situation with their
definitely
their style of development.
But I'm okay with it overall.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I think it's fun, at least.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, Helldivers. I agree with all that. It's a so great time. It's definitely not so far proved to be a game of the flavor of the week type thing. We also did some content warning. This is a game that was dropped on April Fool's by Landfall, who kind of has a reputation of doing that. Dropping fun little games on April Fool's, like the PUBG clone thing. And Rounds was a game that was kind of popular. Content warning is like a Lethal League game, except instead of collecting stuff to sell, you are recording...
Lethal Company.
Sorry, yeah, Lethal Company type thing. So instead of recording or stealing stuff to sell, you were recording a video of you and your friends doing some hijinks. I'm enjoying it a lot so far. I don't know how much legs this game has, but we've had some good times. John, Greg, I know you guys have been getting into it too.
Yeah, this is a fun one. It's like you said though, I mean it's questionable how much legs it has, you know. Really the core of the fun is gonna come from how much effort
making our phone.
Or like the bits you're doing. To me it seems like a game that you would play kind of once in a while. You know, if I feel like you're playing this, you know, every day for a week or something, you're kind of just gonna run out of stuff and you're just gonna be, you know, either, you know, kind of repeating the same bits, but then that's kind of like losing the luster of the game, or even worse, what I imagine is gonna happen is that people are gonna, you know, kind of discover the meta and, you know exactly what gives you points. Because, you know, there's different things that it tells you, like, oh, using an emote or, you know, showing something scary. But, you know, those are all very kind of like unclear things, you know what I mean? Like, what exactly is scary? You know, how long do you have to hold on it? Stuff like that. But I could see people taking apart the game and, you know, just learning exactly what to do instead of having clips, just having little 1 second, you know, spurts when they're like talking, they throw an emote up or this or that. But as like an every once in a while game, like something like a Jackbox, you know, to hop on, I think it's super, super great.
Yeah, I dig it. The whole like gimmick of the game where you have to like, you know, you record something and you bring it back and you can like watch the recording. That is something that I really like. I kind of wanted something like that with Outlast for some reason, like where you would everything you recorded you have, and right at the end it'll show you the video through the eyes of what you recorded and only when it was recorded. And I really dig that.
Yeah, it's a cool feature that I'm sure is in another game that I'm not thinking of or something, but I'm surprised you don't see it more.
And then you can save it on your computer. Super easy.
Right, yeah, and then you can just save the clips. The only thing, and I know it's not the same, but the only thing that's coming to mind right now is, you know, you can do that in VR chat. You can pull out your little camera and I think you can take videos. Now you can take pictures.
I'll be completely honest. While I did like this game, I just thought, you know, it would be cool if someone made this camera a mod in Lethal Company.
I think that Lethal Company is definitely at least part inspiration for this game. You know, as you're going into, you know, spooky areas to do some unknown job.
And you have 3 days.
Out. Yeah, 3 days and all that. I also did kind of think that I was like, you know, I do enjoy this, you know, kind of world and these funny little characters, but also if this was a mod in Lethal Company, I'd probably just go play that.
I'm just saying, like, imagine us playing Lethal Company. We have like a mod like that. We're watching a video and it just cuts to like Kurt screaming and Goku on the camera. And you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, but who knows? Maybe, you know, this game will pick up and
I hope maybe cool.
There'll be some mod for this one.
Oh my God. I cannot wait. I would love to see what the mods are for this game.
I hope it does pick up. It would be cool to see it go further, though. I'm fine with it as is. I mean, for the price of free, definitely have my right. fun.
Yeah, certainly, know? Certainly. I mean, it is $7 now, but even for that price, I mean, yeah. $7.
To be with your friends kind of price, you know. Content warning, I recommend it, even at the small price it is now.
I once watched a man spend like $7 to throw, like, I don't even know, half a dozen balls at clowns, you know?
I played like, I spent like $20 for one round of House of the Dead with Flask.
I mean, there you go. You could have bought this game 3 times, baby.
No, like, but that was worth it because we got air blowed out our heads.
That is kind of cool. You can't.
Oh yeah, I forgot it was an immersive 4D experience. That. Yeah, that's you're right.
Yes. And you weren't air is expensive. That in the price. You know that an extra dimension costs money, right?
Yeah.
It does. You know the where D, you the extra read, D stands where do you think for they dollars. Source it?
Yeah. Cool.
Just real quick, I would pay $1,000 to throw balls at clowns.
Those clowns, yeah, you know, yeah, I'm not, yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you.
You know, Greg, I should let you take the lead on this one, but a bunch of us also bought and have been playing, well, I guess not a bunch of us here specifically, bought and have been playing Dragon's Dogma 2.
Who?
Me and Greg, and maybe Flask 2 secretly.
Flask?
Nah, yeah, no.
Oh, I've been so sick. There's more of us that haven't played it.
Yeah, I guess there's more of us that haven't played it, but I'm still pretty early on. Greg, you finished the game, I think, right?
I have finished the game and I've done everything I wanted to do in that game.
Damn, dude.
Call
it Dragon's Dunma, dog.
Dude, you could call it Dragon's Dunma. Well, this is a game I've been waiting for quite a while. I'm sure you've heard me over the years talk about where I really want Dragon's Dogma 2. It's coming. It's right up there. It was up there with Outbreak. So, you know, finally playing it felt really good. There are parts that I don't like. Like right around the end, the pawns really started getting to me from repeating the same shit over and over and over again. So I basically gave my pawn something so he never talks again. And that was how I played the last of it. The last little bit of it.
You gave him something so that he would never talk again. Did you give him like a brain
note.
Injury?
It's like a piece of paper you give him, like a spell.
It's a shut the fuck up.
Yeah, just say like I have your family if you speak again.
No, he's a pawn. He's not like a real person. He would constantly like, you know,
they are people.
They ever get upset you call them pawns?
No, they actually call me master and they love it. I played through with my boy, you know, me. I got my had my main pawn, Glorbach. I had
of course.
I had Concave Kurt with me and Bobert. Concave Kurt actually made me
mixed that, up that about Concave Kurt.
Yeah, that was Kurt's pun. At the end of the me and Alex actually talked about it, where we both literally at the around the same time kicked him out of our party because he would not stop running up to both of us and fucking like doing this move. We would stand in front and put his weapon up, and when we got near us, she would like throw us up in the air and would fuck up whatever we were doing.
Launch you guys.
Yeah, and me and Alex was talking about it. I was like, oh yeah, he does that for me too. Oh, he's really does this thing where he likes killing himself, like jumping off cliffs. And Alex's like, dude, he does the same shit with me too. So me and Alex think that Kurt has basically made this guy, this his pawn, just commit suicide multiple times, and that it's ingrained in his brain, and he just like Kurt just likes getting thrown in the air.
What's his problem?
And then AI, Kurt trolled you guys. He spent the first like 6 hours of the game just doing that in the loop.
Absolutely. He's strong, but he's just constantly will not shut up. Bobert, I love Bobert. Bobert's strong and he doesn't talk. And it was just us, you know, traveling the world, seeing the new things. The fighting in that game. It's spicy chef's kiss, man. I love that shit. All the vocations are like the jobs you get, classes. They are so all but one, I think, are super fun and unique. The trickster, which is one of the vocations you get. I think that's unique. But it fucking sucks. I think that one, you pretty much
don't even like fight, right? You kind of just like
you don't fight. It's literally a support class.
You pull aggro while your pawns kill everything.
Yeah. So what I think that is, and I think this game was built originally to be co-op, and then they scrapped it because I feel like that trickster class was meant for you to be like a support for the boys, because leveling that was straight rough. Like straight up ass, and I was not a fan of it. Every other class, crazy cool, love it, loved everyone. I'm a big fan of the base fighter with the sword and shield. I would just smash the shit out of people with that shield. It was so much fun. You know, story was all right. It was short, like you know, like other Dragon's Dogma games. If you just do the main story, you can be done with it in a couple hours, but you know, the main thing of Dragon's Dogma is to explore the world and you know,
right.
Do your side content.
Yeah,
the exploration is really what's got me. I mean, so far, I mean, I've done some side quests, but like most of the stuff I'm exploring is not related to any quests. I'm just like looking at my map, being like, well, there's part of it over there that I haven't filled in. And then stumbling on caves, and it's like almost overwhelming because I'm like, "Fuck, have I been there? Did I explore everything around there?" It's a good exploration game for sure.
Definitely, definitely. I am hoping they make a co-op DLC like Bitterback Isle from the first game. Just make that shit co-op. That'd be so awesome. Bring your main, bring your Arisen in. You and the boys. Be so cool. Music in the game's good. The enemies in that game, you know, like the bosses, they are so cool. Every fight is so fucking crazy. There are points where like I've been like fighting like ogres or something, and then like I'll see a shadow fly above me and a griffin swoops down and starts attacking also. Or I'll have points where I'm like fighting a monster and my heart will start beating like crazy. And a dragon will come down and he'll like challenge me to a fight. Very, very cool game. I highly recommend it. Nice. I give it 2 thumbs up and 8 bags of popcorn. 4 bags of popcorn and give me 2 Arisen hearts for that.
I'm still like pretty early on. I'm in the first capital, exploring the area around there. I'm really enjoying it. I agree with everything you said. The classes, I've so far been an archer. I'm excited to move on from that. I'm almost max level in that vocation. I've been a lot of fun. The combat is like immediately both easier in the first game. And also, like, that's fine. You know what I mean?
Dude, you can get juggled so hard in that game. I gotta mention also, it was getting kind of frustrating at the end in some parts. It happened a few times, like where I was fighting like a couple Saurians or like a couple bandits also did it to me, where they would just like basically spam moves on me, like they would time their moves together, so I would just be stuck in an animation of getting the shit kicked out of me, and I wouldn't be able to escape, and my pawns are just sitting over there like,
yeah, hamming
it
up. Great.
Now,
that's not great. But yeah, the pawn system, you don't need to belabor with points, the same pawn system as the first one. It's a lot of fun, really adds an element to the game as well. I'm excited to keep talking about it as I get deeper in. It's one of those games that's hard to play without like a lot of time to spend on it. You know what I mean? You can easily spend a lot of time having a great time, but not ultimately doing a whole lot.
Yeah.
I think that's about it for my roundtable, things I want to talk about at least. Okay. I have one more thing.
All right.
I saw the new Ghostbusters movie, and I thought it was fine. Enjoyable, even. It's got, like, really? Not great Rotten Tomatoes, but, like, I kind of just had fun with it because it had a lot of remember this moments, but it was a solid original story that Dan Aykroyd and Paul Rudd and... I don't know her name, but the actress who played the youngest girl in the Ghostbuster family kind of really carried. They had all solid performances. I'm not saying I would recommend go seeing it in theaters, but, you know, if you're a Ghostbuster head, you'll probably enjoy this maybe more than any Ghostbuster since the second movie.
Really? So you would say it's better than Afterlife?
I don't remember if I saw Afterlife, but I remember people hearing that people did not like it, but I did really like Frozen Empire. I mean, not really like. Okay. I thought it was a fine, enjoyable movie. Going in with the expectation of like a whole thing filled of remember this, you know what I mean? I took my nephew to go see it. It's exceeded those fairly meager expectations.
Okay.
Were you aware of this movie before you went to go see it?
I first learned of this movie a month ago when my mom said, "Hey, nephew is really wants to go see the new Ghostbusters when it comes out." And yeah, that was the first time I heard about it.
That's interesting. Is I had not heard about it pretty much until I think like the day or maybe a day before it came out. I seen like a review on YouTube. Not that I watched kind of like mainstream TV or anything anymore. Was there like an advertising for this movie? Like, what was it shown on?
I haven't been to the theater.
Yeah.
I guess. Okay. Well, I saw Dune 2. Like
Paul Rudd's in it and stuff.
I saw Dune 2 in theaters. I didn't see a theatrical trailer for it before Dune 2. And I had no expectations. I knew nothing about this movie going in. I had not heard of it at all.
I've seen marketing.
My nephew wanted to see it.
In marketing? All right. I mean, it's good. I did not hear great things from the last one. But if you're saying this one's fine, you know, good family movie, I believe it.
Yeah, good family movie is a thing. Like, good family movie. I'm not trying to hype it up. It's like sitting on like a 50 on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm just saying I was pleasantly surprised.
Nice.
That's my round table, and we are about an hour in, so we'll go ahead and take a break here, pick back up with John and Greg, as well as a bit of the news.
Oh, by the way, for Dune or Ghostbusters, do you get the popcorn buckets, the sandworm, or the ghost trap?
I did not get anything for Dune 2. For Ghostbusters, we got a standard large popcorn bag.
Okay, but not the ghost trap bucket or whatever that was. He's gonna be sorry.
Get it.
He's going to be sorry, is all I can say.
I'm not disciplined enough to use the push talk key I'm using. I keep talking and then having to hit it. I knew about the Dune pussy, pussy thing, but I didn't
know about the sandwormussy.
Sandwormussy, but I didn't know about the ghost trap. That's yeah. Also a special popcorn bag.
Yeah, the ghost trap pussy.
Well, I don't know when they started that. I mean, I'm sure it's always been a thing, but I feel like they've turned it up. I have noticed that. I don't know what movie I was seeing. There's some superhero movie. Yeah, they're starting to do like the whole popcorn bucket thing, like themed buckets.
Yeah, that like went away and then it's come back.
I don't know if it was. Yeah. I want to say maybe there's
I don't even like think,
Aquaman
I mean,
2 or something. I don't know.
We were in a small Indiana town when we saw this. Maybe the little AMC over there just hasn't got them special bags yet. They might still be shipping.
Yeah, they probably only send them to civilized parts of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. They probably. Make you bring your own kernels and they pop them for you.
No, Vito, they don't make us bring our own kernels and they pop them for us. They have plenty of kernels outside that you can grab and harvest yourself.
I have heard that they have like you go into the movie theater and then, you know how some, you ever been in a church before in your life? You know what a church is?
Of course. John, you very well know I do.
Right. You know, churches, sometimes they have like the quiet rooms on the side. If your kid's like crying or something, you can go in there and sit with them. They have like one of those in the movie theaters in Indiana, but it's not a necessarily quiet room. They have a guy in there and he's on a bike and he's pedaling the generator that's keeping, you know, the projector going. Because I know they're not all wired out there at the buildings.
Right. Well, it's also got to be a quiet room too because the pedaling is loud.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. When if he like somebody like opens a door, it'll ruin the whole movie because it's loud as fuck in there. Yeah.
Sound dampening.
Yeah. Even with like the walls, if you have like one of this, like that's just shit seats if you're next to the sound room because you can hear like a low hum.
Yeah. And then, like your seat like vibrates. Yeah. Like, the whole row of seats.
Yeah.
God forbid one of the hicks that is cycling to generate power for your theater puts like a baseball card in the spokes of his generator cycle.
Oh yeah.
Cause like he doesn't know. He's so dumb in his brain. He's such a hillbilly back redneck hick that he doesn't know not to do that.
Or he's stupid. He's pedaling backwards and the movie's playing in reverse.
That does happen. I know that.
Fucking idiot.
I don't understand why they're letting all these ghosts out of the traps. Why are they letting all these ghosts out into the world?
Yeah, everything seemed fine when this movie started.
I thought they were supposed to be busting them, not busting them out.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rome Campfire Podcast, Part 2. This is the part where we go over some of the more, it's up to you to decide whether they're better or worse, but they're certainly controversial roundtables, and we'll start with John.
Yeah, I played Content Warning.
Yeah, that's what's controversial. We already talked about that.
Right, we talked about that, right. And then I played Helldivers 2. Kind of talked about that already. I played The Binding of Isaac Rebirth.
Oh.
Bro.
You have talked about that right now.
Have I? I've talked about that one?
I think that's come up.
Okay.
Like, even on a stream, I think you've played it.
All right.
I'm watching our light-up world map right now of listeners, and Czechoslovakia just turned off.
I got one in the back pocket. I know I haven't played this before.
Sorry, I mean Czech Republic.
I took a day. Well, I took, like, an hour or two, and I replayed What Remains of Edith Finch.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I just did. I don't know, a couple days ago.
Huh.
Still good. Still like the game.
Yeah.
That's not like a game that I would like personally replay.
It's been interesting to me. 5-6 years plus. But I definitely know what you mean. If I never played it again, I wouldn't be like itching to play it. But just talking about it with you and just thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wow.
Oh,
damn.
I guess I kind of usurped your whole round table, and because of that, you won't get paid. So.
Yeah.
Greg.
Yeah.
Maybe you can save the day. Surely I didn't talk about everything you were going to talk about.
No, you talked about most of it. I only have one other thing.
What do you got?
My little alien game, Voices of the Void, got a new big update. It's a 0.07 update. I've been digging myself deep into that every so often. They're out there. I say it now. I'll say it again. The aliens are out there. I'm good friends with some of them. They like to break into my house at night and feed me yogurt.
Anybody else tired of hearing about these?
I don't believe anything he says. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like Flash talking about movie titles. It's just
the aliens shot artillery shell in front of my house, and now there's just missile in front of my house with a hologram that tells me there's like a wisp outside that's trying to kill me.
I'll say this. Night,
you should be taken away.
Yeah.
And then every night a wisp shows up and he like tries to break into my house. But I have my little computer man, Kerfus Omega. He's like my guard man. He wanders around. It rained meat the other day, which kind of sucked. So there was meat everywhere.
Wait, isn't that good? That's free food.
That was Vito, it was free food. I got all that off the roof, and I put that right in my fridge.
Yeah, that's good.
So I got good eats for the days. I got a nice little house. They updated the base. They give you like another whole extra like floor. It's awesome, dude. I always recommend this game. It's, you know, free early game right now. It's like 0.07. I hope he brings it to Steam soon and full release one day.
I always like watching you play that game.
It's a very fun and comfy game. With a small sense of like terror of something horrible could happen at any moment, and sometimes it does. The last time I played, actually, it was like the middle of the night in the game. And a little message popped up on my from my computer. It said, "Don't open the locker." So I was like, "All right." And I proceeded to open every locker until the last locker, one of the lockers I opened. I opened it, and basically blackness just came out of it and enveloped my entire game and just crashed my entire game.
Holy shit!
That's the void.
They told me not to do it, but I did it.
You're just making shit really up, and it's embarrassing.
I'm not making stuff up. You guys are always willing to watch me. I do my job there. I'm an A+ student. They give me bonuses up there. It's nice. I don't have to deal with anybody. The only thing I got to worry about is the giant centipede and the aliens that keep fucking with me.
Yeah, I would worry about that too. Man.
And the anti-breather, but I've only seen him once. And the wisp. And the mannequins. And the aerials. And the road souls.
Well, there was a time it did rain meat.
It did rain meat. Horrible things have happened to me in that game. I have a basement now, and there's like a meat locker that I can't get in, but it's got like a bunch of meat.
More meat?
I want it. And I have a bad room, like, you know, like Charlie's bad room and Always Sunny. I got one of them, made it myself.
It's impressive.
Yeah. And that's it. That's it, Andy. That's all I got, man.
If that's all you got, then I think it must be time for the news. News!
News!
News! We're just going to cover a spattering of things that happened over the last little while. First off, sad to say, Akira Toriyama has passed away at age 68.
Yeah, that one hurt. While we were on our trip, actually, Charlie recommended this little volume of Akira Toriyama's like early manga work, and I thought it was really cool, so I picked it up. And I've yet to really like delve deep into it, but I think it's super cool to, like, timing, because this was right after the news of his passing. And I've always been an admirer of him, so I'm looking forward to leafing through that, because all I've really read is, I love Dragon Ball, and I've read some Dr. Slump, but he has a way with, the fun silliness in his work.
Yeah, definitely. The tiny bit that I looked at the book that you're talking about, it looked pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Pretty big bummer. Interested, I guess, to see what is going to happen with the the Dragon Ball Super anime has not been going on for years now, but the manga has been going on, and I think they didn't say it was going to end, but they did put in on at least like a month long hiatus, I guess, maybe while they, I don't know, figure stuff out. I know Toriyama wasn't directly like directing it anymore. I think he was more of just like a producer or something on it, so it probably won't change too much, but interesting to see what happens with the franchise now. If he had any kind of control over it, or the floodgates are just going to release and we're going to see all sorts of crazy shit.
You're just going to start adding monsters from Final Fantasy or something dumb. Like, now they don't have the monster guy.
Well, from my understanding, I only loosely know about this, the new series that was coming out, Dragon Ball Daima, I guess he actually did have a little bit more of a hands-on role and did help write some of the scripts for, I guess, the series, or I don't know how much they plotted out. I think they showed like an early episode at some sort of convention. I don't know if they have a release date for that yet. I wonder how that'll be affected too.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really follow that stuff, but it'll be interesting to see, I guess, just in general, the fallout of Toriyama across like the Dragon Ball franchise as a whole. And, well, other things too, like you contributed Dragon Quest and stuff. Definitely will feel his absence. And bummer,
for sure.
And bummer move, and bummer news in a different way. Emulator Yuzu and Citra shut down after a lawsuit settlement with Nintendo. But I guess maybe it's not so bummer, because I think Yuzu immediately rebranded to Suyu, literally. S-U-Y-U.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Yeah. And they've removed the bit they got sued over.
Yeah, because as I understand it, like, the bit they got sued over was legitimate, right? Like,
yeah, I mean,
it wasn't like they're getting screwed over. They did something wrong.
Well, they were making a lot of money off of it, while the software like provided decryption keys, and told, like, they had like a thing where it's like, well, we won't provide them to you. And then on their website, they had a how to get this illegal bit that you need to run your thing. So they were very, it was the argument that they were building a softwares for archival was not valid. Like, they just were too blatant about the piracy. They've since rebranded ostensibly to probably like not do that anymore. As Embracer Group continues to fall apart, Saber Interactive has been sold by Embracer Group, with Gearbox Software coming next. Saber Interactive is bringing along 4A Games, Zen Studios, 3D Realms, Slipgate, Ironworks, etc.
I think we've talked about a few of these being like, some of those studios that got brought along being like cut apart previously by Embracer. So they're shipping off like a bunch of injured studios in this Saber Interactive thing. Wasn't there like more recent news about Embracer Group saying like it's not yet time to Oh man,
what, they said something like it's not time to acquire more studios. Like, well, yeah, no shit. Like,
yeah,
you're always which in the news the about which one you're selling. Yeah,
yeah, insane.
It implies that the studios were at fault and not their like massive mismanagement of things. I don't know. I don't want to speak too much about it because I don't remember the details. But there was something, some kind of like insidious. I don't know. They had had some government backing, like they'd had Saudi money backing them or something crazy like that, and then the Saudis pulled out, and that's a lot of the reason why they're in this mess now. They had basically had a promise from some entity to have a lot of money that didn't pan out, so all their acquisitions no longer made sense. More recent news.
Oh, and by the way, they're selling Gearbox to Take-Two.
Take-Two, yeah.
It looks like, yeah.
Whatever, man. I don't give a shit.
I mean, yeah, I'm not a Borderlands gamer anymore.
Borderlands? Yeah. Whoa, who cares? I'm over it.
More recent news in Saber Interactive. So the CEO has said that the KOTOR remake is alive and well.
Yeah. That's funny.
Given everything we've heard about it, that is kind of funny.
What John just said about not caring about what happens with... Gearbox is me not really caring about what happens with the KOTOR remake at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was ever a point where I did, Jesus Christ, all the stuff that it's been through. Play the original. I don't know.
It's still good.
It is.
I'll let you do this next one, Flask, because I think you're more into this than I am, but Murderbot Diary series has begun filming at Apple Plus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just finished recently, actually on the plane ride back from our trip, I finished the most recent Murderbot Diaries book, of which there are many in the series so far, novellas and short stories and such. Great, very fun series. Recommend it to anyone who likes fun sci-fi stuff. And apparently they've begun filming a series for Apple TV Plus. And that's exciting because I could absolutely see it being great fun to watch as well. Like, I think this series of books in particular would translate very well to a TV series if done well. You know, as with anything, if done well, it'll be good. But, like, I think this in particular has a lot of potential.
Okay, cool.
And Alexander Skarsgård is going to be in the leading role, which I'm like, I could see that. I could see that.
Well, Flask, feel free to jump in with any other of the news I might have skipped. I think this is a pretty good list.
Oh, yeah, speaking of Skarsgård, Bill Skarsgård is the new The Crow.
Oh, is he really? Okay, I guess it gives us a reason to talk about this. The new The Crow movie releases on June 7th for all you The Crow fans out there.
I gotta rewatch The Crow. I've only seen it one time years ago.
Well, The Crow Heads. It's not called Crow. It's The Crow Heads.
The party's just begun.
But I think people are kind of being like a little skeptical of it right now, just because like it looks maybe a little edgy. It's reminding me of like Jared Leto Joker a little bit too much, maybe.
I could see that.
I don't know.
What's the matter? You don't feel
damaged?
Maybe a little silly.
I think that it's time for us to end the podcast and say goodbye to everybody for now, at least until next week, or maybe the week after, or maybe the week after that, or maybe the month after that,
or maybe tomorrow.
Or the next one.
Maybe tomorrow.
We don't need to come back.
I think we just queue another one up right after this one.
Queue it up.
All right, hey, we're about to go in.
I could bullshit my way through saying I play. Let me look on the Steam front page. Let's see.
I'll just make shit up.
Top sellers, Counter-Strike 2. Oh, I got into it. I'm learning to shoot good. Elder Scrolls Online. All right, I'm getting into it. I'm learning to swing good.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Apex the Legends. Broken Campfire Encore.
Learning to play good.
It's kind of like more of the looser show. Shit, everybody, grab a beer. But don't play the soundbite because that doesn't come through.
Right.
Vita, how you doing? What did I just say?
Oh, come on.
Now he's got to do extra... You know what? Screw it. I'm not relaxed anymore. End the show. Cut it. Just cut it.
Cut it.